Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
We are joined this morning by Dr. Brad Mervitz. He's a specialist physician. He's an endocrinologist. We wanted to talk about how much sugar is too much sugar when it comes to our chocolate bars. Good morning. How are you?
Morning, Howard. Thank you for having me.
If I don't like honey, would you give me a doctor's note to say that I shouldn't be eating it over this period with everything that we are forced to eat it with?
Well, I think that's more of a halakhic question. You'll have to ask the rabbi for that one.
No, they give me the wrong answers. That's why I came to you. All right. But that aside, and we'll talk about chocolates in a moment, a lot of our Jewish type of foods are very high in sugar. The kugels that we eat, this time of year, we eat a lot of things with honey. Is this a concern?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we know that insofar as added sugar is concerned, you really don't need any added sugar in your diet. And in fact, the allowances are quite restricted. When we're having foods that are high in carbohydrates anyway, high in starches, I think about things like teiglach and what have you, and then it's smothered in sugar as well. But really, these are calorie-dense foods that, you know, when we're eating over Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot, et cetera, that's a lot of calories we're taking in, and it causes problems.
This trend, is this getting worse, or has this always been a problem within traditional types of foods?
I think that the availability of foods now and the kind of the industry that's dedicated towards getting foods out needs quick solutions and easy solutions. And the easy solutions are adding sugar to improve taste. And there's no doubt that the quality of food has gone down. If you look at cereals, and I mean, things have come to mind recently with Rice Krispies, for example, where they reformulated Rice Krispies and increased the sugar content of that. We're seeing now more and more a move towards, insofar as commercially available foods concerned, more sugar being put into food. There's a growing awareness about the dangers of sugar, but I'm not convinced that that's necessarily filtering through yet to what we buy. So the quality of food when it is, you know, ready to eat, quickly made, et cetera, that is definitely worse than it was previously. And that's why there's this growing movement now towards it. And I think, you know, the soft drink industry has responded, I think, somewhat begrudgingly to reduce the amount of sugar in their beverages. But it is a problem. And, you know, there's no doubt if you look at what kids are consuming nowadays. I mean, I just look at my children. I look at what, you know, I ate when I was their age. We weren't getting as much sugar. So it is a concern.
Diet drinks, you know, I know that that there's also a lot of concern about that as as an alternative.
It's an interesting thing. So the diet drinks, it's very dependent upon the actual sweetener that they use. You know, we divide them into non-nutritive and nutritive sweeteners. So non-nutritive, those are the artificial sweeteners, things like aspartame and aspartame and potassium and those ones. And then the nutritive ones, which are xylitols and the sugar alcohols, like stevia's in that as well. And recent evidence suggests that the non-nutritive sweeteners, artificial sweeteners, don't actually provide a mortality benefit. So people won't live longer if they have those non-nutritive sweeteners. It is a lower calorie intake, but there are now growing concerns about the effect that they have on the intestinal bacteria and the flora over there, and can also cause some problems. I think the major concern people have with them is cancer, but there's actually never been a demonstrated link between cancer and those sweeteners in humans. But they certainly, you know, as I tell my patients, the best thing to do is to avoid them altogether if possible. But, you know, if it's a diabetic patient and the choice is between having a sugary drink and a sweet drink, probably the sweetened drink is better as a stepping stone to getting them off those drinks altogether.
Go, we're getting an answer. Someone says there is no halakhic basis to have more sugar or more honey over this period. And lots of exclamation marks. Well, that's not necessary. It's only symbolism. There we go.
Absolutely.
Right. And, yeah, so it's, and in terms of actual chocolate bars, you know, how do we deal with that? Because it is something that whether we like it or not, our kids are going to eat. We're going to want a chocolate every now and then. How do you deal with it from a medical perspective?
I think, you know, for the average person that isn't ill, doesn't have a disease, doesn't have diabetes, and they're on a healthy eating plan, there's no harm in a treat every now and then. You know, as I often say, the mindset needs to change. The current mindset is often, I want to eat whatever I'll eat whatever I want to. And once I get sick, now I have to restrict myself. Whereas we should consider, rather, I eat healthily and then I can have a treat every now and then. And if you look at recommendations, for example, American Heart Association, they recommend no more than 35 grams of added sugar for men a day and about 24 grams for women. So, you know, some of those chocolates, unfortunately, fall well out of that, but there are some that fall within that. We have a chocolate now and then. not the end of the world, provided that you know, it's not excessive and it's not every day.
Would you would you hold by an 80-20 rule?
What do you mean by 80-20?
Meaning
80% healthy, 20% not so healthy.
Mm.
Not really. My kind of approach is that the base on it must be a healthy diet. You know, people need to. The problem is when we start giving ourselves leniencies, like anything, the leniencies start to take over more and
they
more.
Definitely do.
So, you know, if someone is able to do something like that and they're leading an active lifestyle, perhaps in that case. But I would generally say that people's approach needs to be that their baseline diet is healthy and then add on now and then.
Every now and then.
Yeah, when one starts breaking it up, you know, and being too meticulous about these things, it always falls apart, unfortunately. At least that's what my experience has shown. So, I don't advocate such a kind of thing, but I think a treat now and then at the end of the world, provided the background diet is healthy.
Do you think that as a Jewish community, we've been harder hit by COVID, partly because often don't eat or live healthy lifestyles?
I can't give you the evidence. I can tell you anecdotally at the hospital. You know, I work at Mill Park and Donald Gordon. At Mill Park Hospital, we were particularly hard hit by the third wave of COVID. And one thing we saw, and I think all hospitals have seen this, is that obesity and diabetes are the two major risk factors for severe disease and death. And I think if we look, I mean, one just needs to look around and show and you know, look at expanding waistlines, and you can see that it is a problem. I think that the diet is something that's neglected, and unfortunately, it's impacting on the health of our community. So I do think that's been a risk factor for what we've seen.
Right. Tell me about black chocolate.
Well, the dark chocolate, it depends very much, because some of them have even more sugar than regular milk chocolate, because to make up for the bitterness. In fact, on that list of the chocolate bars, if you look, the TV bar dark chocolate had 19 grams of sugar per bar, whereas the white and the regular ones were less than that. So one really has to look at the nutritional information and see something like, and I'm not punting brands over here, but some of the higher cocoa ones that are from the better manufacturers.
Like the Lindt ones where you've got over 85%.
Yeah, often those, some of those do have less sugar, you know, significantly less sugar. So one just needs to look at the nutritional information to see. And I think that one of the important things is people need to just look at nutritional information and see how many carbohydrates, you know, glycemic carbohydrates or sugars there are, added sugars. That's really the best way of knowing what you're taking in.
Do you think we are becoming more aware of this, or are we just living in blissful denial until we have no choice but to take it seriously?
You know, I would hope so. I would hope people are becoming more aware, but not to be cynical, but I look around and I see what kids are being fed, and I'm not convinced that everyone has really taken the message to heart, you know. And then the other thing is people like extremes, so if they're going to go off carbs, they'll go for an extreme banting or keto type diet, which may work for some people, but it's not a one-size-fits-all. And so, you know, sometimes you're replacing one problem with another. And I think the underlying message of just eating healthily, getting back to basics, you know, and I often say, when you look at the ingredients of food, the ingredients should just be food. It shouldn't be unpronounceable words. You know, then you know you're not taking in the good quality things. So I think that the message hopefully is filtering through. I think it needs to come through a lot stronger, though, and I think it needs to be taught in schools. That's where it really has to begin, is with children.
Yeah. Is it true that if sugar is in one of the first three ingredients listed, that's a problem? Do they list it that way when you look at it?
Yeah, it's listed by weight. It's listed by weight. So if sugar is one of the first three, you know that you're getting a good dose of sugar there. Mm. And so the way manufacturers sometimes try to get around this is that they'll either use different words for the sugars, or they'll use other substances that have the same impact as sugar, you know. Like Mark with honey, and the truth is honey and sugar are exactly the same.
Yes, I'm on a honey rant, as you can hear, so that works for me.
No, and it's well backed up. So, I mean, you know, that's another thing, and you see some of these manufacturers, they'll say, like, you know, brown sugar or cane crystals or invert sugar, maltose, all these kinds of molasses.
So they really are a crafty lot, aren't they?
Definitely, because they just have to put it in there, but I don't have to say what it is. And you know, in the United States, they're actually changing packaging information to say the exact content of added sugar, because that's really the problem, is the added sugar. You know, we get sugars in our diet as part of carbohydrates, fruits and veggies, but it's the added sugar that's the problem.
That is where we leave it. Fascinating conversation. Dr. Brad Mervitz, who is a specialist physician and endocrinologist. Thank you for chatting to us. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us.